Today I want to talk to you about one simple subject, three words. I need help. Say it with me.
I need help.
Again.
I need help.
One more time.
Turn
to the person beside of you, and I want you to say, look in their eyes, say it to them like you're really asking them. Tell them, I need help. You don't have to agree with them. That's it. I just needed you to say, I need help. Now, how many people have your Bible today? Raise your Bible in the air. Stand up underneath it, please. Wave it around. Bear witness of that word. All right, you may be seated. I want to read to you from two places to begin with, which are Matthew chapter 7 and Hebrews chapter 13. And then the second part of today in our sermon, I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 10 and Luke 18. So these four places, and Matthew is where you're going to be first. Matthew 7, Hebrews 13, 1 Corinthians 10, and Luke 18 for those that are writing it down. Once you find your place in Matthew chapter 7, say, I have it. Matthew chapter 7, listen. These are the words of Jesus. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Verse 7. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. You've heard this before, right? Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Notice at the beginning of this, verse 7, it says ask. Notice at the end of verse 11, it says what? Ask. Those that ask him. So understand what he's trying to tell us here. Now, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 13, which is our second reading, verse 5 and 6, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now listen to verse 6. So that we may boldly say, does anybody know what boldly means? That means you're not whispering. That means you are confident when you're saying it. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my what? Helper. Say it again. The Lord is my what?
Helper.
And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And I realize in preparing for this and God showing me through the scriptures that we live in a fear, in trouble, because basically we're refusing to call God our helper and we're refusing to ask him for help. So today, in this sermon called, I Need Help, I want it to be something that's easy for you to say. So say it with me again.
I need help.
Again.
I need help.
One more time.
I need help.
Now, was that hard to say? You know, it wasn't in here because you've been told to say it, but that's one of the hardest things for us to say, is I need help. There's a part of us that doesn't ever want to have to say, I need help. We associate us saying we need help with failure, don't we? We associate it with our incapability to do something on our own. In order for us to ask for help, that means we couldn't do it. There's a lot of us that like to fly solo. We can do it. We don't need anybody else's help. Oh, I've got it. I've got it. And even so, we mistakenly applaud this behavior when children are like that. Oh, well, they're independent, they're self-willed, they don't ever ask for help. Like that's a good thing. I want to tell you today that having this attitude is keeping people from coming to God. The inability to ask for help, it's not this great attribute that people think. For those of us that think that there's someone saying, oh, well, they don't need any help. They're efficient by themselves. They have it. God's not applauding at that kind of behavior. He wants us to eventually be able to do things on our own, but we are going to get in trouble. We are going to need help. And he didn't design us to fly solo out here. He didn't design us to recoil in some little group and never step outside to make relationships with anybody else that are other godly people just to do our own thing. He didn't create us to be that way. Amen? I need help. Now, before you leave here today and you say, I know you were preaching that at me, let me go ahead and tell you, I'm preaching this at me. So if it hits you, it hits you. I've struggled with this my whole life, all right? And I've been trapped under those chairs for a large part of my life because two things. I refused to ask for help because I thought I had a way to figure myself out, and I didn't want anybody else to think that I couldn't. One of those two reasons. But those are the two reasons that keeps every single person in the world that doesn't get to God from getting to God. Listen. The inability to say, what phrase? All right. Now, there are a lot of reasons that people never reach the point of saying, I need help. Some of those reasons have to do with embarrassment. Number one, we don't want anyone to know that we need help because we think people look at us as a failure. We've spent all this time trying to look efficient around somebody, trying to look in authority or in control. And if we say we need help, it makes us look like we failed. So we never get to the point of saying, I need help. And because of this, guess what happens? We stay stuck under the chairs and our condition never changes. Now, you say, is that a bad thing? Have you ever been stuck in something you didn't ever think would end? All of us, haven't we? The fact of the matter is that God has put people and provisions in our lives that would help us. Here's the problem. Our own pride has kept us from receiving God's help because we were too worried about being embarrassed about what people would think. So, our situation never changed and improved because we were embarrassed to ask for help. The other side of that is, you never were able to share God's sovereign power because to admit that God helped you, you would have to admit that you needed help. And somebody that has a pride problem, it's hard for them to do that. The most common reason that we never reach the point of saying, I need help, is because of this. Our overconfidence in our own ability to work out our own problems. Our overconfidence in our own ability to work out our own problems. You say, I know people that have that. Really? You know people. Do not the wheels in your mind start turning whenever you have a situation and you've got an answer here and an answer there? You're trying to. Before you get help from anybody else, you're trying to help, right? I don't need help. I can do this. I can do this. Here's what I've done. I've got so far down that track before with my plan and then realized I need help. You see, this is also a pride problem. Because we actually feel when we think this way that nothing or nobody has the capability that we have ourselves to help ourselves. We believe in our own ability, our own intellect, our own planning, our own resources, more than we believe in anything or anyone else's ability because of this overconfidence in our own ability. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there? We never allow ourselves to say, I need help. Because we always think, even as Christians, we should be the one helping. There's a pride problem there. We never admit that we need help, and here's what happens. Our condition never changes. You stay stuck under that same bunch of chairs. Every time you try to get out, you're in danger of hurting yourself. So you just stay stuck. You see, we need to understand today how important this subject really is. Every one of us at some certain time in our life, and most likely many times in our life, must get to the point of saying, I need help. Or our lives will exist only to be trapped by something that has us in bondage. Now, I don't need to go through the list of things that have us in bondage. You're probably rolling them through your mind right now. Roll your own, not somebody else's. The things that have you in bondage. The things that you can't seem to get out from under. You see, there has to be a time when we admit that we can't help ourselves and we need help. That's the way God designed us. If you ever want to have a relationship with God, you have to get to the point of admitting you can't help yourself. If either of those reasons, embarrassment of the situation or overconfidence in our own ability to help ourselves, if any of those reasons exist, then we have to realize that we're in danger because of what? And it's not the problem. We're in danger because of the pride that stops us from getting out of the problems. You see, I've realized through my life and through counseling people and seeing others' lives that usually it's not the problem that has us. It's the pride that makes us think we can get out of the problem ourselves. That's what really has us. And usually the problem is God's way of showing us that we need to get rid of the pride to get rid of the problem. Now listen, hear me out. Don't turn it off. Proverbs 16:18, Solomon writes this statement, "Pride goeth before the fall, before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Now, we might be sitting in here today and we say, well, we don't have any pride. Well, that's what Job thought. Job had everything right, except he had a little pride problem. You see, there may be some here today, more than likely most all of us, that have faced problems in our life or facing a problem right now that we need help with. And the only thing that stops us from getting that help is our ability to say, I need help. Do you know it's that simple? We've thought ourselves through many, many different avenues, the way to get out of it, but it's simply as simple as being able to cry out to God, I need help, give it to Him, and believe in Him for that help. I'm not saying cry out to God and say, I need help, and then pick it right back up the next morning and start working on it and going back through all your anxiety and worry. That's not giving it to God and saying, I need help. That's saying, God, if you can help in between the times I'm helping, that'll be great. Because if God's never the one that gets the credit for helping, you'll take the credit and say, hey, look what I was able to do. That just feeds our pride. God's not going to let it get worked out until you get to the point of saying, I can't help myself. I asked you to turn earlier to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. There's a story here that relates to this sermon that I want to read. And in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is rehashing a story that happened in history with the children of Israel. They were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh. Does anybody remember how that story happened? The plagues came and Pharaoh finally released them. Let my people go, let my people go. He did, and God delivered them. He led them out of captivity. He led them through the Red Sea. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. He had a cloud to lead them by day and fire to lead them by night. They were delivered by God, except they had a lot of trouble on this trip. They had so much trouble that out of the millions of people that God delivered, only two men over the age of 19 were able to go into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. Well, what was the difference? What was going on with these other people? Well, Paul writes this and says, hey, take this as an example. I want to tell you what the main problem was. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Listen to what Paul is saying. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He's talking about ancestors here, leaving Egypt, going to the promised land. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea, and did all eat and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. Do you see that? These things that happened to them were our examples. Not the person beside of you. They're our examples. So look, because this is your example, my example. to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And that's what's contagious today. We live in a world where it's eat, drink, and play. And all of our focus is on that until we begin to worship that. Listen, he goes on, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell. In one day there are 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Now, you know we could go back through these stories and he's just doing a synopsis of all these stories. Neither murmur you as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. So he stops there and he says, hey, don't even be complainers. Don't murmur. That's what murmur means. And as a matter of fact, consider this. He put that in there along with all these other things that we think are real big sins. Sexual immorality, fornication, idolatry. Hey, those people do that. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the thing that's worse on the church than any of those things. A murmuring, complaining spirit. You say, what can hurt this church the most? Somebody that commits sexual immorality? No. Somebody that's a liar? No. Somebody that's committed all these bad things that stole? No. Somebody that has bad language? No. Let me tell you what can ruin a church body, the unity of the body, worse than anything. A complaining spirit, because it's contagious. They murmur about something they don't like, and they murmur to the next person about something they don't like. Before long, you have division. That's what happened to the children of Israel. Somebody didn't like it. Well, let me tell you something, Jack. Just because it's not your way doesn't mean it's not the right way. Get over yourself. It's a pride issue. That's what makes us start murmuring. I've had to realize, hey, everything that I think is right is not always what's right. I'm not God. A complaining spirit, when we start voicing it here and there and in the shadows here and there, guess what? That's what happened to them. He gives us words of advice. Listen, verse 11, as he continues to go on. I want you to focus on this. Because Paul's reminding the reader that God has given us great examples in his word, that in order to receive help in our times of trouble, we have to realize that we can't help ourselves and that we don't need to be embarrassed about it. We have to get to the point of saying, I need help, before we can ever get help. You say, this sounds like an AA meeting. Guess where they got it? And if you know what they say there, I don't judge you either. Okay? Listen to verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. You know what that word admonition? It's written to us for a warning, for a warning. Now listen, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That sounds a little bit like what Solomon said back in Proverbs, right? Pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before the fall. Listen to it again. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will also, with the temptation, also make a way for you to escape. God will make a way for you to get out from under those chairs. What does he want us to do? Ask for help. You have to be able to say, I need help. He'll make a way for us to escape. But I want to focus on a verse that nobody seems to think is the key here, because I hear a lot of things preached. But I want to tell you, the key verse of this, the problem, the warning is all about one verse. The warning comes in verse 12. Listen, here was their biggest problem. Biggest problem. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know what this translated thinketh he standeth mean? Someone who thinks they can stand alone. Someone who thinks they're right when everybody else thinks another way. Someone who thinks I don't need anybody. Somebody who thinks I don't need help. Somebody who thinks he standeth alone. Take heed lest you fall. Someone who thinks I don't need God. Somebody who thinks I don't need what God had to offer. Take heed lest he fall. You see, the Bible never tells us that we aren't going to have problems or disappointments. Do you know that? Never tells us that. These things kept happening to the children of Israel so that they would come to God for help. See, I found myself in a situation before being away from the Lord to where I kept thinking, why is this happening and why is this happening? And now I realize years after, praise God, it kept happening. He said he chastens who he loves. Those things, those trouble kept happening because I kept refusing to say, God, I need help. So he threw the next level on me and then the next level on me. Surely Mike is going to come to me and say, I need help. Nope. Well, then let's throw this on him. Children of Israel, same way. God was doing them a favor. Let me let you see that I'm the only one that can help you. When you realize and come to me and say, I need help, and quit trying to do it yourself, then guess what? This will stop. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:4, it says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. This tabernacle, he's talking about our body. You know what a tabernacle is? We use the word tabernacle in the King James, but it means a tent, right? A temporary dwelling. Now, you don't grow up and say, and we've used this example before, hey, I want to grow up and I want my family to live in the nicest tent that I can get them. Do we? No. Hey, I've got a piece of property over here. That's what I plan to have my wife and kids settle down in. We're going to put us up a tent and that's where we're going to live. No, why? A tent is a temporary dwelling, right? That's something we would live in until we got the house. That's something that we put up temporarily. That's what our body is. It's temporary, right? He said, in this temporary body that you have, you will groan. When I think groan, I think back to those hee-haw days, right? Doom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, it's bad. That's groaning. You ever been in that spot? Problems got so heavy, doom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. In this life, we will groan. But he doesn't want us to groan for things that we're in bondage to, that he will let us out of if we sincerely ask him for help. See, he knows if we're sincere. You see, the Bible tells us that there's going to be times that we fail in sin. Not just the person beside of you, but you and me. There's going to be times we fail and we sin, and we become weighed down by that sin. It becomes heavy for us. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that puts us all together. We are all what?
Sinners.
We're sinners. Before we start looking at somebody else and trying to pick and say, hey, what did they do? And what did they do? And hey, let me get the details on that. And, hey, they shouldn't have done that. Understand, you're a sinner too. Unless you want them to pick your life apart. You need to stop the gossiping. You need to stop the picking. You need to stop trying to find out and pray for them, because guess what? That person needs help. They don't need criticism. They need help. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guess what? Every one of us are born sinners. We have a sin nature. This means every one of us are guilty of sin. If we live in that sin and never think that we need help and never tell God, I need help, then we'll die in that sin. Imagine that sin is that group of chairs that was right here, right? No matter what it is. Maybe your sin's different than your sin, and your sin's different than your sin. We're not picking sins this morning. We're just saying we have a sinful nature. So let's say we're covered in that sin. Do you know that if you spend your life and never ask God for help to deliver you out of that sin, and God gave us help, he gave us Jesus Christ, right? His blood covers our sins. If you refuse to have that point in your life where you say, God, I need help, you will stay under that chair until the end. Now, if you stay under that chair until the end, then the wages of staying in that sin, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Death means hell. So that's what we receive if we refuse to ever say, God, I need help. Does that make sense? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is willing to give you a gift, a gift. A gift is something that's given to us. We really don't deserve it. But God said, I'll give you a gift through Jesus Christ. You can escape that through Jesus. You see, God knows we need help. He sees us when we fail. He knows we fail. We need to get over the fact that we've fallen. We've laid here a couple of years, fallen. There's got to be a time when you ask Him for help and you actually want to get up and quit being embarrassed about it. I know people that have spent their whole life fallen. Praise God, He loves us. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth His love. That means He gives us His love in that while we were sinners, in that while we were stuck underneath the chairs, Christ died for us. Well, couldn't God have said, hey, you brought it on yourself. I heard you saying more chairs, more chairs, more chairs. You get what you get. You deserve that. God didn't say that. Amen. He said, I see Him. And guess what He did? Mike just cried out for help. I know he got himself into that mess. I know he asked for it. I know he keeps doing it, but praise God, he asked me for help. I'm going to help him. That's why I sent my son to die for him. Praise God, he's like that. We need to get like that. Quit judging everybody and give them a hand to help them. Right? That's what God did for you, and it's what He did for me, right? Mike, how do you ask God for help? Let's say I'm lost. I've never accepted Him as my Savior. I'm not sure that I've ever asked Him for help. How do you ask Him? You know, the Bible gives us something that Paul wrote in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Here's how simple it is. He says, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, listen, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen. Saved from what? I don't understand saved. Then make a picture there. You're saved from being in bondage of whatever's on top of you. And how do you cry for help? By confessing that you can't help yourself. By believing that God is the only one that can help you. And by believing that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you, to have His blood cover your sins. All of that is combined in one three-word phrase, I need help. And do you know so many people finish their course of life and never sincerely utter that phrase to God? You see, this is the essence of salvation. Every man must see himself in a bad situation and cry out to God, I need help. The reason that you see the world as it is today, where the line between right and wrong has become marred, someone's took an eraser and said, hey, this was wrong about 20, 30 years ago, but it's not wrong now. Things that everybody would have stood for years and years ago, now they're afraid to say something because somebody will march against them, or somebody has a problem with this or a problem with that. Some of the things, these things that you've said in the past years, I can't believe this is happening. You know why this is happening? Because the devil wants to erase the line between right and wrong. Because if man doesn't see his sin, he'll never look to God to get him out of his sin. Man will never cry for help if he doesn't think he's in trouble. And the world is telling man, you're not in trouble. Eat, drink, and play. Amazingly simple, isn't it? Essence of salvation, a God that can provide help to a person who realizes they need help and cries out to God for that help. Listen, a God that can provide help to a person who realizes they need help and cries out to God for that help. That's the essence of salvation. Now, I don't want you to take my word for it. The Bible gives us a beautiful story in Luke chapter 18. I ask you to turn there, and I want you to read this with me. And I want you to realize this also, that a man that never cries out to God and says, I need help, I'm a sinner, will never receive that help that God provided through Jesus. We remember, ask and it shall be given unto you, right? What happens if you don't ask? What happens? How do you expect it to be given anything if you don't ask? What was our key word? Ask, right? Are you at Luke 18? Listen to this little story. You have to love it. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You've heard this story before, right? I want you to notice how it starts in verse 9. Why did he speak this parable? He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. This is that strong-willed person, that person that never thinks they're wrong. That person that thinks everybody else is wrong, that person that condemns, that person that says, I've got it right and you've got it wrong, that person that's so confident in their self. You know, that's what we breed today. Be confident in yourself, confident in yourself. Listen, you'll fail yourself. Be confident in God in yourself. It's to that person. It's to you and it's to me. Listen, he gives this parable to those that trusted in themselves. We're given this story and it's about two men. One a Pharisee, one a publican. What's a publican? Publican was a tax collector. They're looked upon as people who have cheated, have lied. They're tax collectors. Scum of the earth. Nobody liked publicans. And then the Pharisee. Who's the Pharisee? Well, the Pharisee's the religious person. The Pharisee's the person that waves the flag of God all the time and says, hey, I'm more righteous than you are. I'm better than you are. I tithe. I do this. I do that. I'm in church. I do this. I do that. I'm better than you. The person says, hey, we need to pray for all those other sinners. That's the Pharisee. The person that stands back and says, hey, those people are really out of the will of God and we need to pray for them because they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing this. Instead of communicating it with your purse, with your the other person that you want to communicate, by the way, that's gossip, get on your knees and pray for that person. Amen. Because you're no better than they are and you're one heartbeat away from being in the same situation they are. So what do you do? Listen, we've got two guys. Let's look at how they prayed. The first publican, he stood up, or the Pharisee stood up. Here's the thing that I see in his prayer. He never admitted he needed help from God. He said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. You know what that means? I'm a little bit better. I know a little bit more about how to worship. I'm more experienced about worship. I've got a degree in this, and I've got a degree in that, and I'm more experienced. So I know a little bit more about worship. I know a little bit more about God. I'm thankful I'm not like these other men are, these people that are beneath me. I'm not like this, I'm not like this, and Lord, I just want to thank you that I'm not like this publican. What did he ask God for? Nothing. He didn't need any help, did he? No, he was good to go on his own. Tell you what, he was just full of himself. And then there was the publican. The publican stood afar off and it said he couldn't even lift up his eyes. And he smote his breast and he says, God, listen to this, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now let me translate that. God, I can't help myself. Please have mercy on me. Listen, I need help. The Bible says that this man went down to his house justified and the other man didn't go down. You see, there's one thing that every person in hell has in common today. Every person in hell has this in common. They have never cried out to God and said, God, I need help. I'm lost. Please use the blood of Jesus to cover my sins and justify my sins. If they would have, they wouldn't be in hell. Now, we've talked about people that may not have accepted the Lord as their Savior. Let's talk about people that have. Let's talk about Christians. Let's talk about people who have been saved, who saw their need one day and said, Lord, I'm lost. Save me. Well, let me ask you, what about those people who have a relationship with God? What about people who are saved? Do we still need help? Do we still need to be able to say, God, I need help? Absolutely, we do. Absolutely we do. And as a matter of fact, you say, well, I've had to say it before. Listen, you're better than me. I'm finding myself saying it every day. And probably should have said it more. Absolutely, Christian, you have to be to a point to where you can freely say, I need help. If you want to be that child of God, if you want to receive the blessings of God, if you want to have a strong walk with God, if you want to have the peace that only God can give you as His children, if you want to have joy in your life, if you don't want to get bogged down in a particular problem in your life and be in bondage to it, if you want to get the forgiveness of God whenever you've messed up, and all of us have messed up, if you want to be able to do God's will, if you want to be able to lead anyone else to Him, then you have to be able to tell God this one phrase, God, I need help. Say it with me. I need help. It's hard to say. That means that maybe we might have messed up. That's what God needs you to say. Because you don't get to heaven in believing in you. You get to heaven in believing in Him. That's the difference. One little thing stands in the way, and it's pride. I want you to remember Matthew 7:7. It said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Ask. For us not to admit that we help, that we need help, it makes us no different than that Pharisee that prayed to God but didn't ask for help. He thought he was good enough to come to God, but the Bible tells us he went back to his house unjustified. Why? Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And everyone that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'd like to give you an example of somebody in the Bible that I look to. And I love this character of the Bible. He may be one of my favorite Old Testament characters. But the reason I love him is because God loved him. And the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. So he loved God. But I'm going to tell you something about David. David messed up a lot. That's what I can relate to. What about you? You ever mess up? David messed up a lot. Here's the thing that God loved about David. When David messed up, David came back and asked him for help. David didn't stay long out of God's will. David realized it. And in his writings, when I look back through the book of Psalms, I couldn't write them all down, but I give you a couple. Listen, these are David's prayers in the book of Psalms. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Psalms 22. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Psalms 22:19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, hasten thee to help me. Psalms 27:9. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now we've read in Hebrews that the Lord said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, right? That we can be bold in saying God is our what? Our helper. Psalms 38. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. You see, David needed help sometimes and he needed it then. And he was like, Lord, please help me. Please help me now. You say, is that wrong to pray like that? No. It makes us pray like a child. That child doesn't have any inhibition about saying, hey, help me, help me, help me, I'm scared. God the Father wants to hear you pray like that sometimes instead of your big adult self that says, God, I mean, I think I've got it, but maybe I could use some help. God don't want to hear a prayer like that. Psalms 40. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. You hear help in every one of these. Psalms 40:17. Listen to this. But I am poor and needy. Listen, you're talking about a man who is the king. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O God. Come on and come quick. Psalm 63:7. Listen to this. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. Glory to God. Takes me back to the days on the farm. I love watching chickens. Anybody like watching chickens? I love watching chickens from the way they walk and pull that foot up to the way that they just go around. But you know what I like about chickens? When chickens have bitties, that's what we call little chickens. When they have them, you know where you'll find those chicks? Around that mama hen. They don't get too far from her. If you see the mama, you'll see them scurry, and then they'll get off. But when she moves, they all run right back in it. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever seen that? They stay in the safety and the shadow. You know why? Because they know I need to stay near. If there's trouble, I need to be near. That's what David is saying. You've helped me before. I trust you to help me, so I'm going to stay near you in the shadow of your wings. That's where I feel safe. Now, in all that we've said today, this is what I can tell you from experience and from God's Word. Whenever we find ourselves in trouble, facing a problem, overwhelmed with a situation, whether it's something that we've done wrong or something that we're facing that wasn't even our fault, at these times, God wants you to cry out to Him, "I need help." And if you do, instead of thinking you can take care of it yourself, then God will make a way for you to escape from the bondage of that problem. We read that. Remember 1 Corinthians 10? "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also," listen, "also make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it." Are you trapped under some chairs? Do you know that God has the escape for you? And it requires one phrase from you sincerely. Do you know what that phrase is? Tell me. You see, we need to know as Christians, as children of God, that God's watching us. He sees every situation that we're in, and He's waiting for us sincerely to cry out to Him, "God, I need help." God's so close to us in our times of need and problem because He knows sometimes this is what had to happen for us to see that we can't have peace until we ask Him for help. Listen, in my life, I had to get to level one, then level two, then level three, and I still refused to say, "God, my only help's going to come from You." So here came level four. And let me tell you, that happens in families. It happens. Somebody might lose a job. Somebody might lose health. Somebody might lose a family. It can get worse and worse and worse until we finally turn to God sincerely and say, "God, I'm Your child. I need help." And that includes coming back into fellowship with Him, not just saying, "God, can You help me? I'm going to keep living my life the way I am. God, I need help. I'm going to live for You. I need help." And guess what? God is so close to you at that time. Why? He knows what you're going through. God is closer to you at that time than you ever could feel Him. Why? Because He loves you. Christian, He loves you. He knows you're in that trouble. He's just waiting for you just to turn and say, "God, I need help. I need help." But we keep on, don't we? "But I have a plan. I have a plan. I have a plan." Or, I can't do this because I'm too embarrassed. There'll be an invitation given today. And you know what? Even our own pride. People that know they need God to help them with something. And you know, we need to go to God every day and say, "I need help, God. I need help to be a father. I need help to be a husband. I need help to be a mother. I need help to be a wife. I need help to be a child. I need help to be a witness. I need help to be a coworker. I need help to be a friend. I need help." And you know what? Our own pride will stop us. Has me before. From stepping out, even to come and pray at an altar, because we'll think, somebody will think I've got something wrong with me if I step out. That's a pride problem. That's stopping you from saying, "I need help." Say, "I'll say it at my seat." I'm glad you do. Nothing wrong with praying at your seat. Nothing wrong with praying at home. I'm just talking to that person that God is inclined to come and kneel before Him and pray. Listen, those two things, our embarrassment of Him, of asking for help because we think people are going to think of us, and our overconfidence in our own ability, those two things keep us in bondage. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. I want to say this in closing. This is what God says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Have you messed up today? Are you in here and you've messed up? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Where can he be found? He's close today. He's given you a message. He knows that you're at that place where you need to turn. I've been there before. God's closest to us then because he wants us to be able to say, God, I need help. You won't have to say it twice. But here's what it says. And it addresses this. It says, seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous men. Well, who are those people, the wicked and the unrighteous? You're looking at them. I love the way it says, and return unto the Lord. How do you return unless you've been there already? Amen. I've been there before and then I've got away. Anybody else? One phrase will change your life. If you say it, mean it sincerely. Three words. You know what that phrase is? I need help. God will send his help to you. He may send it through different people. He may send it through circumstances. But don't forget, God is in the one that's in control of every single thing that's happening. He made you. He created you. If it's health, he knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows you. He's the great physician. He can do anything. If it has to do with something you're going through, whether it's relationship, God is the one that knows the thoughts, the intents of our heart and our mind. He's the one that controls everything. Go to him and ask him for help. We can't see past today. He can. He's the God today, yesterday, and forever. God wants to give us another chance. At the end of Isaiah 55, 6, and 7, it says, if you go to him, it says, he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There is nothing, friend, that you have done that you sit in this room today that God cannot forgive you of. Amen. Nothing. Except ending your life without ever saying, God, I need help. If you end your life without saying, God, I need help, I want to use the blood of Jesus, I'm a sinner, that's the only way that you can't be forgiven of something. You see, God's purpose in sending Jesus Christ is so that we would have help. So person today, if you're lost, if you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you're not sure, understand his message to you today. All of salvation is summed up in this simple phrase. The one that the publican said, God, have mercy upon me, I'm a sinner. Translated, God, I need help. I can't help myself out of this. And saved person, how long has it been since you really made God your first stop to ask help? I mean, before you tried to figure it out. I mean, before you were embarrassed about it. Before you didn't want somebody to know you actually had a problem. When's the last time that you just used God on an everyday basis to say, God, I need help? You know, I realized this in getting ready for this sermon. I realized in praying one night, I was repetitive. What do you mean? I can remember praying, God, help me to be a good father. God, help me to be a good husband. Help me to be a good pastor. Help me to be a good friend. What's the one thing I have in common there? Because I've failed at all those things without his help before. I'll go ahead and tell you. God, I need help. Even as a Christian, I need help. If you're at a place today where you don't think you do, you're going to go to the next level. Just like the children of Israel did on their journey. Until you get to the point where you realize, I need to say, God, I need help. Where are you today? A lot to think about. One small phrase. Stand with me. Lord, I love you. I praise you. And I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for the time that you've given to deliver your word, and I thank you, Lord, for the hearts that received it. So attentive, Lord. The focus of the people that received this message, so attentive, Lord. I praise you for that. Lord, you know the hearts and the minds of every person that sit in this sanctuary today. God, you know what we struggle with. You know, Lord, that none of us can help ourselves. God, I pray as this invitation comes, I pray that people are moved across this auditorium, Lord, to act like children and just come and cry out to help for you. Lord, if there are those that are lost, Lord, I pray that nothing stops them from coming and praying for you to use that blood of Jesus, that they believe you and confess they're a sinner. Lord, accept you as their Savior. I pray, God, today souls are saved. Lord, I pray today that as Christians all over this room, as we look at other people and think that person needs to do this or this person needs to do this, Lord, let us look at ourselves and realize that we really need to ask you for help more than we do. God, let us get the pride out of ourselves. I pray, Lord, you move in this invitation. Speak to us, Lord. Let the Spirit have a freedom to move. In Jesus' name, amen.